Take a look at the first Rashi on Chumash. It's a well-known Rashi. It's a pretty famous Rashi. It looks pretty simple, but I'm sure this is a lot didn't hear a lot more hidden here maybe than meets the eye. Pasuk says, "Gracious Aleph, Aleph, gracious Baruch Kim Es Hashemayim." Yes, sir. Let's take a look at Rashi. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. He quotes Rabbi Yitzchak. Who's Rabbi Yitzchak? So the truth is, earlier on, historically speaking, they had no idea who he was. And Tifsei Chachamim actually quotes some people who think he's quoting his father, and you know, Shlomo Yitzchaki is his father Yitzchak, and they had no idea really who it was in the beginning. But the truth is, later on, it's actually a Yalkut Shimoni and Shmos, because you have like a fancy Chumash who quotes it. Okay, whoever he's quoting is a worthwhile thing. Tifsei Chachamim has a whole discussion as to why he thinks it's his father, why he thinks it's not his father, and you know, with his father's a big Talmid Chacham, he's just an average guy, but he wants to show cover to his father. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, yeah? Lo haya tzarech lehaskel et haTorah ela miachodesh hazelachem. The Torah really only had to start from where? Miachodesh hazelachem. Where's that, by the way? Shmos Yibbeis. Yeah. Perek Yibbeis and Sefer Shmos. And therefore cut out what? Lechora? A whole bunch of Chumash. Shehi mitzvah rishona shenitztavu b'Yisrael. Why should we start there? Because it is the first mitzvah that Klal Yisrael was commanded as a nation. Umatam pasach b'Bereishis. Therefore, why do we start here? Now, before we even get to the answer, any comments to make on this Rashi? Anything worthwhile noting besides who Rabbi Yitzchak is? Just.
Well, he's already making the assumption that that the whole purpose of the Torah is just to tell us the mitzvahs.
Yeah. Let's take a step back and, well, let's have a second. Let's just work on Arya's point, because I think it's a good one. In other words, the real question Arya is bothered with is, why did Rashi suggest that? Was anyone else bothered when they opened up Chumash? Now, it could be you've been learning it for so long since you were little kids, you don't remember, but like, if I would start telling you Chumash and reading you Chumash, like, hey, wait up. Why did this story start with creation? It should have started with HaChodesh HaZelachem. Like, weren't you all bothered by that problem? In other words, most kindergartners, the third graders, may have missed it. Like, we're sophisticated people. Tarsha, what's going on with Rashi? In other words, why would anyone would have thought that? What's wrong with the Chumash starting this way? And what's really the svara for this question? What type of eyes would you need to have to think, to see the Chumash is, hey, wait up, it's not the Chumash. And Aryev began to answer it by saying, it's not a book of stories, it's a book of mitzvahs and laws. And that's why I start out with the mitzvah. Now I find that, I think, slightly incorrect, problematic for sure. Why?
Yeah.
Correct. The alternative suggestion was, in other words, was not, Rashi's question was not, cut out all the stories and only have a book of laws. That had been a very good question. One could have said, hey, why do you even have all these stories in Chumash? Just make Chumash look like a Shulchan Aruch. That's not what Rashi asked. First Rashi in the Chumash. What is what Rashi asked? What is what Rashi asked? Let's just cut out the first 60 Perakim and start with Shmos Yudbeis. That's really Rashi's question. And therefore the question really is stronger. What the heck is going on in Rashi's mind? Why did he think that was an appropriate place to start? Now, what would we have done with the first 60 Perakim if we have not had them at all? Would they be some other book like Sefer Yehoshua? That's the Tifsei Chachamim, right? Like, we wouldn't cut them out and throw them out. They'd be some other book. Okay, but why would you think to start with Chumash with you? And I think that's a real question. Is what triggered this question? What's it based upon? I would have never asked this question. What's going on here? We'll get back to it. Okay. Continuing in Rashi. Umatam pasach b'bereishis, mishum koach masav higid la'amu latet lahem nachal az goyim. Hashem wanted to show the strength to his nation that he can give them the nachal az goyim. The actual pasuk in Tehillim, Rashi's quoting, shim yom ruhom asa olam l'Yisrael, if the goyim say to the Jews, listim atem, you guys are a bunch of abandoned thieves, you took the land from the Palestinians in 1948 after the Holocaust. There were never Jews in Israel throughout all the world's history, a bunch of Ganavim. So the natural response would have been, what are you talking about? There have been Jews there in the, you know, in the 1200s, the 1300s, the 1400s, the 1700s, the 1800s, all the way through. Tzfat's been around a flourishing community. And we, you know, that's one of the answers we should be giving. If I'm not mistaken, it's on a separate, not a political note. segment of the room, so I feel comfortable being back to the politics. I think the Ottoman Empire did in 1845, they did a survey, if I'm not mistaken. And they found that there was two times as many Jews in Jerusalem than Palestinians. Or maybe it was Israel. And maybe it was Jerusalem only.
Not
Israel, in Jerusalem. It's still, meaning the point is not that. Anyhow, there's what to be made for that argument. It's the kitzer. In other words, if the seven nations of the world come along and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you took away our land, you took the Shevet HaUmim, all the Canaanites say, you took away our land. You gave it to the Jews. List them at them. Sheki Vashtem Arza Shevet Goyim. Hey, Momim Lehem, the Jews can respond. Call Arza HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the whole land belongs to God. Hu Bara Unasna Lasher Yashav Einav. He created it, and he gives it to whoever he wants. Britzon Unasna Lehem, Britzon Unat Lehem, Unasna Lehem. God has the right to do whatever he wants with this land. Take it and give it. And if you don't think that's true, it's because he created it. And if you don't believe that, open up Chumash. That's the answer. Any other problems with this Rashi until now?
The argument doesn't seem to be working very well for us.
Number one is, does this really, do we expect anyone to buy this? If I'm not mistaken, at the Hidnat Kut, at the disengagement, that's 3 or 4 years ago, there were a bunch of Chabadnikim with signs that say, God created the world and gave this land to the Jews, the Bible. I'm like, how serious did anyone take those people? You know what I mean? So one question is, you know, if God in his ultimate wisdom decided that there was a need to get across this message and therefore include 60 more prophets, was he successful in doing so? Okay, that's one question. I think there's another question which is worthwhile to ask, which is?
Why would you need to put that in the Torah? Why would you need to dedicate all that time to give that proof?
Yeah, in other words, the bigger question, well, God created the world, he can give it and take it away from whoever he wants. The real problem, I think, is, How many prokim should have been taken out based upon Rashi's question? 60. All of Rashi's and 11 prokim from Shmos. 64, whatever. 63. Rashi's like, hey, take out all 64 prokim. Then what he answers? His answer is good for how many of those prokim? Maybe one, two psukim, one pasuk. Rashi's prokim es hashman vasarts. So like I heard Twin once explain, I thought they were joking. Well, once you said Bereishis, you got to fill in the whole middle. You can't just have Bereishis and skip to Achorus Elachem. And I said to the person, you may be right, but there's a heck of a lot more details in there that aren't necessarily just filling in the gap from God created the world to Achorus Elachem. And therefore, the question really is, what's going on with this Rashi? The major question is, how does his answer resolve the problem that his question raises? Although the other two questions, the peripheral ones, are good as well. Do we really expect the Goyim to believe this? Okay, maybe it's just for us. We should know. We should know the truth. Goyim like it, great. If not, we should at least know.
But that's not what Rashi says. Rashi's.
I understand. And additionally, like, what was even happening in the first place? What was Bechlau was going on? What was one even thinking in the first place that he had such a question? Now, the truth is, before we begin to develop a theory I have, which we'll get to a little bit. The Ramban actually discusses this at great length. We'll take a look at the Ramban. If you have Ramban and Bereishis, open up. Tarek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, it's the first Ramban in Chumash. It's a very well-known Ramban. It's a worthwhile thing to read through. I'm going to read through relatively quickly. If you have the Ramban I have, which is the Miklos Gedolos one, it's 4 paragraphs or 5 paragraphs. I'm going to skip in the second one only because he quotes Rashi word for word. He had in Vizu Agad Belosh and Shakasa, Shakasva Rabbeinu Shlomo Perishav, that this is an Agad that he characterizes Rashi to be saying. V'yesh Lishol Ba. You guys see who that is? V'yesh Lishol Ba. The first Ramban, not the Hagdam, it's a Chumash, but in the first, an Aleph Aleph. You guys see that? Okay, you have Ramban there? No good. Look on. If you have, if you can, it'd be a good thing to do. It's not the end of the world. If you can't, we'll do what we can. Enough Ramban to go around? All right, we'll take what we got. The Yesh Lishol Ba, you can ask a really good question. Hitzarach Gadahu Lahaschla Torah Bebrachis Barlokim. Why the Torah has, what do you mean? Why the Torah start with Brachis? It's a really good reason. Kihu Asharash Hamuna, Vishaino Mamun, Bazevachoshev Shaolam Kadmo, who Kofer Beker Vainlo Torah Klau. This is the most basic principle to Jewish faith, that God created the world. And if one thinks the world is eternal, he's a Kofer Beker and has no Torah at all. Now, by the way, is that Pashit that you have to believe the world was created and not eternal? Definitely there's something done in creation. But there is an Ebenezer that seems to indicate that maybe the world came Yesh Me'yesh and not Yesh Me'ayin. Meaning it's not so partial. According to Ramban, not only is it true, but it's a heretical point. In other words, Olam Haba is riding on the line. But there are others who disagree with Ramban. Ashorn thinks it's not fear on the land. Some even think that maybe the world had some type of existence before creation. Okay, but there's the Ramban Shita, and given that we're playing with fire, it's pretty safe to stick with the Ramban. Fear is on the line. But okay, Vachuva. The reason why the Ramban's going to answer by explaining why it is a good question. He's going to restate the question, right? He attacked the question. I was going to defend the question. You can't understand Chumash. You can't understand God from the Pesukim anyway. And if you want to understand the depth, the philosophical depth of Moshe, of God rather, you have to learn Kabbalah. And people who really know the philosophical, Kabbalistic depths and truths to God, they keep it hidden anyway. If you want to learn about God, you don't need Bereshis, because you learn about God from the philosophy books, from the Sefer Machshava, from the Sefer Kabbalah, and whatever else. Vahasipur b'mash never b'yom rishon u'manase b'yom sheni v'shar yamin v'harichos v'yitzir sadim v'chava. What do you need to know all day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 and the story of creation of Adam and Chava v'chata'am v'yon sham and their sin and their punishment referring to?
The sin of Adam and Chava?
I think, which one? Eitadas Toparam most likely, if not clearly for sure. V'sipur Gan Eden v'girush Adam imenu and the story of Gan Eden and how he got thrown out. A continuation, I assume. He calls that lo yuvan bino shlema menaksuvim. V'chol shekin sipur dor hamavol v'aflaga. And same with dor hamavol and dor aflaga. She'en atzarech behem gadol. You don't really need them. V'yaspik la'anshei haTorah b'ladai haksuvim ha'ele. And you can start chumash without all these stories. V'yomru b'chlal ha'nizkar lem b'asar t'dibros ki sheshmim asar shem asashman v'asaret as nev asakal ha'sharbam v'yirachim ha'shvi. And therefore you would know God created the world. And let the philosophical depths and truths be, passed on to the people who are getting the Kabbalah from Moshe Rabbeinu. And you don't really need all these stories. And therefore the Ramban strengthened Rashi's question. Now there's two interesting observations to make at the Ramban strengthening of Rashi's question. What are they? Is he just quoting Rashi word for word, or he's kind of like doing something there? What's he doing? He's expanding Rashi's question from Maaseh Bereishis to?
Throughout the Torah.
Not throughout the Torah. People with me over here?
What
Simon, you with me, following? A little tired. You good? I'm a little tired myself. I think he's expanding it beyond the creation story to, or specifically the first pasuk maybe, to the creation story, to Adam and Chava, to the Eitzadas Tovra, to Dor HaMavol, Dor HaFlaga. Did Rashi mention any of those things? No. So it's interesting that the Ramban understood Rashi's questions referring to Parshas Bereishis and Noah. However, what did he not expand to? Yeah, and even Lech Lecha V'Erechai Saratolos, etc., etc. I mean, the Ramban, when he restates Rashi's question, he's not just limiting it to one pasuk, he's limiting it to two parshios. Which on one hand is good because hopefully his answer will answer more than one or two psukim, but there's still a remainder of, I don't know, 50-some prakim, 40-some prakim. You with me? In other words, even the Ramban's presentation is somewhat troubling. We got three questions on Rashi and one on the Ramban so far. You with me? Okay. Let's continue with the Ramban. The Nasr of Yitzchak Tamla, let me just explain. He had chila hatar v'bereishis b'alakim v'sipur kol inyan ha'yetzir ad b'riyas ha'adam shem shila v'masi yad v'chol sheis tachas raglav v'gan eden shu mivchah ha'mekamot ha'nivram v'olam hazeh naseh machon l'shiftel. There's a really important message for this story. Ad shigiresh oso b'cheto misham, until he threw him out ad menchav v'an shidur ha'mabot b'chetam garshum ha'olam kulo, and the people who were in the dur Mabel, they were thrown out of the whole world. Vat tzadik behem levado nimlat hu banav, and who remained behind? Noach, the righteous one. Vizaram chetam garam lehem lehefitzam in komat luzram barzo. And the people did dora flog, and they messed up again, and therefore all of Noach's children messed up again, so therefore God scattered them around. Vatavs lehem komat lemishpachosam bogem kefishin is dami lehem. The Ramban essentially draws one thread through the first four or five stories in Chumash and categorize them all under one large classification, which is? What?
Unnecessary.
People sitting, messing up, and then being thrown out of their land. And that should already ring a faint bell in the mind. Thrown out of the land. What are we talking about? Where's that? What's he building towards? Back in Rashi, which is throwing the Goyim out and giving the Jews land of Israel. I think that's already hit me in the head when I read this one time. But the Ramban believed that the first four or five stories, the first 12 Prakim until Avraham Avinu, the stories from Adam and Noach and everyone, Cain and Hevel and all those people over there, it's all, he hasn't mentioned Cain and Hevel, but again, when Cain killed Hevel, you know what his punishment was? Nubinud, to be a wanderer. One could even include that as being some type of Girish. And therefore, the Ramban established that when people sin, you know what happens? They're thrown out of their land. Let's continue a little more. Im kein roi hu kasher yosif hagoy lechto, the more nation will sin. Kishiyabed nimkomo v'yavu gayacher l'reshes esartso. What happens? He's thrown out and another nation comes in and inherits his land. That's the just, or at least the principles in which God established the world. Ki kein hu mishpat halukim v'aretz me'ola, v'chol shekenim ha'mesufar v'kasuv, Canaan was cursed, so he's going to have the good land of all Yerushua. Rather, who should do it? The people who are Ovdei Hashem, the children of the one who Hashem loves, who's a friend to Avram. Kin shekasa timr v'itim lemartot goyim v'amalu lumim Yerushua avoy yishmu chukav tarzav yinsaru. Kiloma shegirish misham moridim, people who are morayed, people who are rebellious, he throws out. V'hishkim bo avdav shiyidu ki bavadasi in chalu v'myechtu lo taki aretz osam kasher kata gaya shelof nehem. And if the Jews sin, the land will vomit, or any people sin, the land will vomit them out, just like, what's it called? Just like they vomited out all the other people. So what's, so far the Ramban is developing his answer. What's the Ramban's answer? What's his question and answer? Why do you have the first? No. 12 prakim. What do you have them for?
That was the principle of which Hashem runs the world that proves that we have the...
And what's the way Hashem runs the world? Hashem A, created it, and B, established a specific principle, which is, if you sin, you get exiled, you get thrown out. Okay. Then the Ramban proves it, and essentially this is the Yisod. Still, one may ask, what happened to the last, what? 50 prakim. So I'd like to share with you my idea of how Rashi and Ramban are understanding what's going on. For starters, why does Rashi start with Achoras HaDelachem opposed to any other place? What's unique about that? It's the first mitzvah, not the first mitzvah. That was Bris Milah. The first mitzvah? The
first mitzvah
commanded to Klal Yisrael. What's the significance of the first mitzvah commanded to Klal Yisrael? Why is that an important place to start from? Not just the first mitzvah, nor Har Sinai.
Maybe.
Achoras HaDelachem? So I would say, if I wanted to understand where Chumash should begin and end from, what should be included in it, one should ask, well, what is the goal of Chumash? What is the mission statement? I think it's a mission statement. And what is that mission statement? Whatever it is, Chumash. Rashi thought maybe you should start from, this way, Chumash is a book of how the God's chosen nation should be living. If that's the case, at what point in time do we start telling God's chosen nation how they should be living? Which point? Achoras HaDelachem, the first mitzvah. In other words, the reason why I think Rashi starts there is because the way you start, the book is supposed to tell God's chosen how to live. How do we live? How did you, God chose us to do something. What does he want us to do? Here's the book that tells us, Chumash. Where does it start from? From the first commandment of where we're supposed to do things, of what we're supposed to do things. Now, if that's really true, what question might one ask? If Chumash would have started, there's a nation called the Jewish people, and God gave them the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh and carried out the rest of Chumash, you might ask a really good question, which is?
Why
not Bereishis? Why not Bereishis? The exact opposite.
Would you add?
Yeah, meaning, aren't you missing out a lot of details? And I'll sharpen it a little bit. I'll sharpen what I'm getting at in a second. What? Well, why do you?
You don't know who they are.
Why do you need to know who they are?
That's how we learn to live our lives.
I think you're right, but I'll sharpen it. If I told you there's a God and he chose one nation arbitrarily and gave him a specific task, well, you know what question you would ask?
Why
did he choose a specific nation? Why not choose everyone? And number two is, why adopt these people? That doesn't sound very fair at first glance, right? Let me take a step back and ask a different question. What's really the purpose of Sefer Bereishis? To show the Goyim that Jews can kick him out of Israel? Is that like what you thought all your life? What'd you think? I always thought it came to answer the question we asked a moment ago. The question was, why did God have to choose a nation? And specifically this part, I think the answer is, God didn't want to choose a nation at first glance, to Vayakha. He wanted others to be successful. Unfortunately, when God gave Torah to the whole world, when God gave mitzvahs and commandments to the whole world, you know what happened? Everyone failed. First, Adam failed. He got through that again. Then Cain had, Cain and Hevel failed. Cain killed his brother. God kind of made him a wanderer, gave him no home as well. Then it continued on with more failure in the story of Torah Mabah. People failed there as well. God changed things again. Then you have the story of Dor HaFlaga, and God changed things again. God's trying his best to make it work. He would like everyone to just recognize who he is. He'd like everyone to just do the right and moral correct thing, to appreciate God's truthful and omnibenevolent and omnipresent nature. And the people just keep on screwing up time and time again. Until finally, in the middle of nowhere, almost like a rose in a thorn bush, not miraculously, but surprisingly, Kivayako, a whole totally different approach begins to develop. Instead of everyone recognizing God together, there's one man who stood up and started teaching people and inspiring people and motivating people and sharing the wealth with people, sharing the beauty with people. And that was Avraham Avinu. And Hashem said, hey, you want to know what? It could be, if I want the whole world to recognize who I am, tactically, practically speaking, I would have loved to have everyone being created equally. It just won't work. And if it doesn't work, well, that's really bad, because the whole purpose of creation is to make it work. And therefore, even though I'd rather not choose a chosen nation, it could even be having an Am HaNivchar. It's a bidyevet concept, but it's better than not having anything work at all. And therefore, God is willing, and even excited now, to choose a nation, because all of a sudden, Avram, the son Yitzchak afterwards, and Yaakov and the family afterwards, began to preach and teach and develop the world into the way it should be going. And if that's correct, A, that's what Sefer Bereishis is really all about. That's what Sefer Bereishis is all about. And it answers the most important questions. Why did you choose one nation over the other ones? Why did you choose specifically Avram's children? You want to know why? Open up this book. It's unbelievable. Do you know who he was? Do you see his dedication? Do you see his commitment to Hashem, who willing to sacrifice his son? Do you see how he tried to make peace with other nations, tried his best to do these type of things? He goes out and he's Korei B'Shem Hashem. Do you see the sensitivity, how he buries his wife? Do you see how Yitzchak tarries on the flame of Avram? Do you see how Yaakov combines Gevura of Yitzchak and Chesed of Avram and lives almost not a dual role, but does you see what he does? How he turns into his family? Do you know who these children of Avram, of Yaakov were? Read this story and you begin to see the selection process of how it is Hashem knows how to choose and chooses people who turn into a nation who are going to carry out his will. I think this is what Sefer Bereishis is all about, and if this is the case, maybe the Ramban took it for granted. The Ramban was never bothered from the Avraham and on part. The Ramban only asked, well, what do you need the story of Adam and Chava? What do you need Noach? What do you need Duram Abel? Duram Flaga? The Ramban never asked about Avraham and on. It could be, it was crystal clear according to the Ramban, that a nation who would serve Hashem, teach the world this message, be inspiring, be an Or LaGoyim, as the Nevi'im quote later on, that's exactly what we need. The question is, why not start with Avraham? And it could be Hashem wanted to show you that when an immoral nation sins, a moral nation takes its place. And if you notice carefully, the Ramban never mentioned Jews once. Never mentioned Avram once. When the Ramban described this principle, he was talking about when one nation sins, another nation comes in. And when a bad nation goes out, a good nation takes its place. This is not like the Maharal. The Maharal believes that Avram Avinu was chosen from day one, almost without free choice, to become the Am HaNivchar and to be the father of all Judaism and whatnot. The Ramban disagrees. According to the Ramban, The reason why we're chosen was not predetermined from the creation of the world. It was because Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov were superstar people. Unbelievable characters. They started bringing the world towards its right, correct direction. They started being the Yashiv Olam and Tikkun Olam and doing everything Akash Baruch wants from the world. And we, as their children, are supposed to follow in that path. Hang on a second. What? The Mara. If that's correct, let me just develop a little more now. Yeah, what's your question?
It's like first, acquiring this whole thing of when a bad nation, that picks out, and goodness comes in, whereas what do you say about Dallas when, he had to make some exception then? Recent, he was terrible. He didn't mean the Romans were a moral nation, and if they were a good nation, they were a bad nation.
I'm not sure if the Romans were moral, just so had to get kicked out and God gave them a chance, or exactly how these things work. I don't claim to be able to explain all of world history. Just trying to just explain some time.
And also, I'm going to say, it could be even a big
yeah. But let me pause. How many times has France been conquered by world history? One thing saying one, two, half, all of that, you know, all of England, even Poland and Russia go back and forth a lot more. But how many times, in the North and South America, how many times has Israel been conquered throughout world history? A tremendous amount. So again, it's not the only place. There are other places as well. And again, right. Poland's a lot more than France or England. But, I don't know if the numbers are right. But Israel's definitely up there. Anyhow, yeah.
Also, you didn't say this is like the Bidiyevit situation, Abraham.
Not Bidiyevit in the sense that, okay, yeah, correct, yeah.
How it seems to be saying, if Hashem wanted something in a certain way, he could create it that way.
Again, he'd have to take away all sorts of free choice of man. And in other words, if you wanted man to have free choice and to find him, this is the best approach towards doing so. If anyone's interested, Aryeh Kaplan has a book called If You Were God. It's a small little essay. It's not a book, really. It's on the shelf over in the library. If you want to have it on my computer, it's actually pretty good, and I think it basically summarizes the point even more clearly. Yeah, if this is correct, so maybe what's going on in the Ramban, I don't know if it's what's going on in Rashi. If it is, I may have to interpret it a little bit differently. Because Rashi seems to say that the reason is to show the whole world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gave us the land. It could be what the Ramban said is 100% correct, that Hashem not just gave us this land to post a random going, but Hashem chose a nation, threw out another nation, brought in a new nation, until finally one nation served as the one that he decided to make an everlasting covenant on, a bris, Har Sinai, etc., etc. And therefore God gave us, said, okay, you guys are good enough, you're the one who's going to take it. Now, you can imagine Hashem would want to switch nations back and forth often, that'd be like fickle and indecisive of him, and therefore he made this choice and decided to move forward with it. But it is correct so far we understand, A, the Havmin of Rashi, why we started from because the book is a book of a mission statement for Klal Yisrael. You'd imagine that's the first mitzvah. No, you got to understand behind the mission statement why this nation was chosen for the particular mission. We understand, I think, why the answer answers the question, because the reason why you need the sefer is not just technically to illustrate the point, but you got to throw kicked out. Misbehaved, kicked out, until finally Hashem chose a nation and gave it a direction, which is again the same point. And the last thing is, why are the guys supposed to really believe this? Is anyone supposed to are we supposed to just walk into wherever we want to go and say, look, the Jews own this land? There's a guy who I know is a friend of mine, he's a little bit extreme, that's an understatement. He lives in the Muslim quarter. And he says, he's trying to buy houses for Jews back over there. So he walks in and knocks on the door and goes, hi, please get out of your house and give it to me. But he's like, are you joking? why would anyone do that? He's like, because I'm a Jew. I'm returning back home. This is my land. This is my people. Get out. So needless to say, he's not so successful with that approach. He has been successful with buying a few houses. He does raise a lot of money. He's bought a few Jews back into the Muslim quarter, brought them back in and whatnot. But he's like, the truth is, this is the way he talks. He's a little bit... not so politically correct. Schwartz, you like this. He's like, it's like, it's only because they're so stupid that they don't understand it. The most natural thing. A Jew comes to his home and says, please get out. Of course you leave. Now, it could be my American, more politically correct, you know, Western upbringing that makes me understand why a person wouldn't want to get out of their house, even if someone else thought it was theirs. But nonetheless, that, in other words, there is a sense to his point. He's trying his best to go show, listen, look at them. And if this Arab guy wouldn't have got out of his house, he's like, you want to go get you a Rashi, you know, Pasuk Aleph? So again, the question is, do we really expect him to do this? So I think the answer, by the way, is really yes. I think the answer is yes. I really believe that. I think the reason why, deep down, I think the world knows that the chosen nation belongs in the Holy Land. It doesn't think that's true. I think the best proof of that was the vote in 1948 for Hakamat Medina, the fact that they chose Israel over Uganda. In other words, is not a great reason why they... That's Ahmadinejad, if I'm not mistaken. The political argument is as follows. The Jews basically moved in 1948. Nebuch, we feel really bad that there was a Holocaust. We feel really bad that the Jews killed them. Therefore, let's give them land. Okay, give them German land. Give them Polish land. Why are you giving them Palestinian land? They don't belong here. They have no connection to this land. That's basically his argument. And that's why Ahmadinejad is trying his best to deny the Holocaust. He has no interest in doing so. And for sure, the Tricarta, they don't care about denying the Holocaust. They just don't want it to be an excuse that Jews should be in Israel. Sounds like a good argument, right? In other words, the Jews just came in after us. So by the way, I mentioned earlier on, I think that historically it's not exactly true. But I think the religious answer is beyond that. The religious answer is the world deep down on some level knows and recognizes that when the Jews were beaten up, thrown out of their land for a long enough time, from Golos Vayishani until 1940, whatever it is, why is it that the UN voted to put them back in Israel? I think deep down, the world believes that the Jews belong in this place, in this country, and the more modern world has been more subject to debate. But deep down, is it fully accepted by everyone? No. But on some significant level, significant enough that the UN voted for it, the world does, on some level, believe that the Jews belong in this land. Even most of them, and for sure in the last 10 years when they've been talking about a Palestinian state, which was not existent, no one spoke about this before Bush. No one was suggesting, you know, very, very few mainstream people were suggesting they took all of it, get the Jews out of everywhere. I had debate if you 67 borders or whatnot. I think mainstream recognized on some level the Jews have some right to this land. Where did that come from? Did it just come from this Ottoman study of 1845, too many Jews in Jerusalem and then outside?
No.
Does it come from the Balfour? So where did the Balfour Declaration come from? Did it just come from the fact that the Jews had a vibrant community in Spain in the 1500s, 16th century? And, like, you know, what's happened in the 70s, since then? What happened? I think the answer is deep down, comes from Kumbh. I think there is a recognition in the world, and I think that recognition was originated from Kumbh. I think there's a lot more depth and truth to this Rashi than what meets the eye. It's true if you hold up a sign and say, get out of your house, because I want to move in and show them the first Rashi, no one's going to take you seriously. But if you talk about Am Yisrael's connection to the land, if you talk about the world history had a connection to the land, and we were here and we're coming here and we've tried our best to come back throughout the world history as much as the world would allow for. And more than that, the chosen nation belongs in the holy land, and that already dates back to Chumash. Our connection is all the way back to Chumash. I do think, subliminally or consciously or subconsciously, I'm not sure exactly how and what level, but I do think the message has gotten through on some level. Hopefully we'll continue to get through. And I think that's what's going on in the first Rashi and Chumash. For sure, according to the Ramban learned it, and even according to Rashi Kipshuto. Why are we starting Chumash not from the Chodesh Elohim? Isn't the whole message of Klal Yisrael how to act as a chosen nation? And the answer is yes. But you also have to know the Hashkafa of how God got to that point. And the answer is, it was a trial and error process until finally he figured out this is the nation who can bring Yichud Hashem to the world, Hashem Echad to the world, and therefore, A, he chose a nation, and B, chose this specific nation. You want to read about that? You want to look at the history and stories and Hashkafic messages of that? Gracious until HaKoshiz Elohim. Once Klal Yisrael has a message, HaKoshiz Elohim will be on the page. Hey guys, have a good week.